the first step in being able to solve a problem and create a solution is to identify the problem. And in this instance, we're working in the subjective mind. And in this dimension of mind, it is essential that we connect in our own personal way in that same dimension where the problem exists and in the way that we relate to it, the way we perceive it. It has been my experience, and now my opinion based on that experience after all these years, that when we succeed in tuning in and identifying a problem in our own way, subjectively speaking, we are far more likely with that connection to then be able to do something about it. Some years ago, Laura and I were conducting an instructor training. We were co-directors working with our instructors, and we would often bring in guests, part of our team, to give presentations. This particular time in Laredo, Texas, it was a very large group, and I was sitting in the back while somebody else was giving a presentation. And I always remember Isabel. Well, actually, she's a retired nurse anesthetist. And Isabel came in, and I jumped up, said hello, we hugged, and she looked at me, took a step back. Ken, something's up. Your bilirubin count is off. I said, what? I beg your pardon? I crossed my legs. I didn't know what to think. Bilirubin, what are you talking about? And she explained to me that bilirubin has to do with liver function. Well, admittedly, at the time, I was feeling not quite 100%, but I thought, okay. And I was relating it to, we were keeping very long hours. You know, it's a 10-day to or more training from 9 in the morning to 9 at night, you know, sometimes later. So I thought I was just, you know, in need of a rest, sleep deprived. She insisted. She took me to see her brother-in-law, who is a pediatrician locally in the Laredo area. He was able to take blood work, sent it out to a laboratory, and sure enough, my bilirubin count was off, and I was slightly jaundiced, and there were some things just starting to brew in my liver. Boy, that really saved me a lot of unnecessary pain and suffering, because then I addressed it, and everything was fine and okay, but I always remember that, how precise she was. And I find it interesting that as a young girl doing these experiments, how she grew into a mature woman and became a nurse anesthetist specializing in this, and how often she would work with physicians. On the QT, of course, because nobody wanted to admit, but how often a physician would privately ask her for her insight, intuitively speaking. And you know, you could do the same thing. You have a brain. In fact, neuroscientists are suggesting there's a part of our brain that controls what we call intuition. The only difference between you and me, or a highly developed intuitive, is practice, experience, and training. And that's why you're listening to this, and that's why you're going to want to come into the class live, because especially at this level, this is something that is far more effective when you're in a group of people and you've got the instructor there guiding you, coaching you every step of the way. Now, certainly in this home study and listening to the CDs, you can do this. You're going to need to make some time, and it's well worth it. And I just hope and pray that you make the time, because it's an investment that will more than pay for itself. So let's talk about this exercise. Now that I've whet your appetite and I've got you thinking of possibilities, you know, because you can use this in your business to get ideas, to innovate. You can use this to enrich in a relationship, to understand someone better. Things are not always what they appear to be. We need to learn how to interpret our feelings, our senses, our intuitive insights, so that we can make sense of them and do something with them. And again, it's an act of brilliance. So this last mental projection exercise, I want to prepare you, because what you're about to do, quite frankly, in my opinion, is a very long, exaggerated version of what you'd ever do on your own. That is, of course, unless you develop an interest in becoming and working as a medical intuitive. And there are more and more people now doing this, by the way, in our communities. However, for them, they need the details. They need the in-depth understanding of anatomy. They need that in-depth understanding, not just subjectively, but also physiologically. For most of us, and speaking for myself, it's really not necessary at all. And intuition can be a rather spontaneous phenomenon and highly personalized. However, Our mind tends to wander, we daydream, we're all over the place. One of the beauties of the Silva method is Jose Silva added structure to a dimension of mind that has no structure, that can be all over the place. And with that structure, it slows us down, admittedly, but more importantly, it helps us to establish a sense of control and focus so that we can, so to speak, turn it on and turn it off more at will, and that we can direct it and focus our intuition in a more meaningful way. So although this exercise is a rather long exercise, and you can review it in your workbook and your materials, I just want to advise you, relax, sit back, for all we're going to do now is consider some of the things that could be wrong medically, and how we might detect them and discern that from an intuitive point of view. And I'm going to borrow from a lot of the early experiences with the young children. And the reason being, and you can probably guess, children, they're right there. Adults, you've got to control. Adults, they're in their ego. Adults, they've been biased. But young children, and the younger, the more so this is true, it's more natural for them. So we have placed a lot of credence on the experiences of the youngsters for that reason.